Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, that's our theme tune. Somebody actually wrote to us the other day and said your theme tune's shit.
It's a bit
Did you read
shit.
That? It's quite shit. Okay, we'll take it. It's not that shit. I mean, originally what we wanted, I'll just explain the story very quickly. I'd been watching a lot of Adrienne, the yoga teacher, on YouTube, and I wanted something a little bit like her theme tune. So we went to the people behind this podcast, who shall remain nameless. It's Avalon, who are a management company. And they said, oh, we'll get you something mixed up a bit like it. Anyway, that's what we got. I don't think we've paid for it yet, so we're very, very grateful. And how are you doing, my friend, in Oxfordshire?
Oh, my friend. I'm not great. I mean, I am missing Poppy really badly. And I'm, to be honest, in quite a deep sort of dark place. Of sadness, you know, a lot of the time, to be perfectly honest. It's really bloody hard, actually. And by the way, more beautiful messages from people in the gang, you know, with their condolences and just lovely, lovely messages of support and love, actually, really, really help.
Total understanding. That's what I'm getting from
absolutely,
this as well. I think,
absolutely.
You know, because so many of our listeners have lost dogs and are dog lovers, and they get it. They get it. They get how much this is hurting you.
I know.
What's the hardest thing?
Oh,
do you think?
I found a little bone of hers in the settee the other day that she'd left there. That was really hard behind a cushion. And we saw Pebbles, you know, her kind of playmate. That was her friend. We went around there for supper, and I sort of thought, well, I'll be okay, but I really wasn't. And she could kind of smell Poppy on me, I think. And every time she walks past the drive, she pulls in. So yeah, it is incredibly hard. I have to say, it's still very, very hard. But there you go. I mean, listen, you know, bereavement is tough. I know because of the bereavement work that I did as a counsellor. And obviously, you know, we are all of an age that we've had to do it.
Yeah.
It's a long, long path. And it's, you know, that arc, which we all know, the kind of disbelief, which is still there for me. And then the kind of anger. And then, you know, slowly but surely, slowly, slowly, slowly but surely, you sort of come to accept it. And that's kind of what bereavement is, isn't it, as an acceptance?
And I think one of the hardest things is losing her in a very abruptly. I'm getting used to losing my mother, because I've been losing my mother ever since she got dementia.
I know.
During the first wave of lockdown.
I know, Jenny.
When was it? It was September 2000 when she went into the nursing home. So when June dies, there will be for me some relief, because
I
want her out of this suffering now.
Of course you do.
When I saw her last week, as you know, I was up at June's because I did the recording from there. I just find it increasingly hard because she cries and...
Jenny, does she?
It's a terrible thing seeing your mother cry. Daughters, if you're listening, don't make your mothers cry, because
it's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really shocking thing.
Almost as bad as seeing your father cry. Oh, God, you hear that noise?
What's that?
Oh, my God. Sienna's having a shower in a room that doesn't get used very much.
Well, let's do it. Hey, we've got the twins there.
Yes, we've got the twins here.
Have you got one on each knee?
Haven't tried that. They're too heavy. They're big.
I tell you, Judith, I don't know whether I've said this before, but I've got a new line in my stand-up.
Oh, go on.
Which is about getting Nana fit. If you've got a grandchild on the way, you've got to sort of get into training for them. I mean, this is something that I forgot to do because I'm a lazy cow. And the easiest way to get into training for a grandchild to be is to fill a pillowcase with cement and practice lifting that up off a rug. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And out of a cot. Very good idea. But what you need is one of these shelf things, these belts that we've got.
You've got a strap-on shelf. I mean, I should never really say the word strap on in a podcast because there will be people wincing up and down. Judith's got a strap on. That's what I'm going to say.
My God.
It is a strap on shelf that a baby can sit on. I haven't thought about that yet.
I think, you're going to need to do that eventually. But yes, you're right. It is. They are they're heavy.
They're heavy.
And then they get wriggly with it. Yeah, then they get wriggly.
Arlo's not too wriggly yet. He's a kicker. And he's really out of that bassinet. Listen, I'm going next week. I will be regaling you with tales of my first foray away with Phoebe. Phoebe and I have got a train trip with Arlo.
Yes.
It's a sort of work lunch for her, just to show her face again, sort of on the circuit.
Oh, that's nice.
That's playwriting. Yes. Yeah, so yeah. It's a lunch in Manchester. And then, so going up the night before, we're sharing a hotel room, but I'm giving myself the option to go down to reception at midnight and beg for another room. And we do the lunch, and then we're going to take a train from Manchester to Lytham. We're going to have a night in Lytham.
To see your mum.
And then
mum.
We're going to take Arlo to get passed around the nursing home and see what they make of that.
Oh,
they have a puppy that comes in, actually, Judith. Yeah, they do. They have Puppy Wednesday or something when a puppy comes in, and apparently my mother absolutely adores that. So she'll probably, you know, June, she's capable of spinning on an axle. She'll probably say, well, it's not as nice as the puppy, but, you know, it's quite... It's going to be very interesting. I'm sort of bracing myself either for it to be terribly moving or just a bit shit.
It'll be very moving. I think what's conjuring up in my mind is sort of, you know, like the kind of Alberg pictures of sort of,
old people. Cuddling babies.
Yes, exactly. And actually old people, we're pretty old ourselves, aren't we? But there is something very magical about that sort of two generations.
Three generations.
That's right.
Hold on, four generations. There's June, there's me, there's Phoebe and Arlo. It's four generations.
Oh, my God, it's four generations.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, just to see her face. I mean, she will, and I guess she'll love the smell of him, and, you know, it'll take them, it must connect
them. I think she does
with
get
being
confused.
A mum
I mean,
as
I
well.
Think she'll... She thinks the baby's mine now and again, which I have to remind
you.
Would be in the Guinness Book of Records. But anyway, we'll report back next week.
Wow. Have you got a rucksack? What are you carrying your stuff in? I think you need a rucksack, but you haven't even got a rucksack.
Of course
you?
I haven't got a rucksack.
Oh, for
goodness
sake,
I might have to go down
Jenny.
To my sister's. My sister will have a rucksack.
Yes,
and I can describe
will.
My sister's rucksack now. It will be
go
the
on.
Same rucksack she did her Queen's Guide with.
Oh my God.
In 1973.
Canvas.
Yes.
Oh my God.
With
word.
Badges stitched on, Judith.
Oh,
that's what
wow.
she will have.
Wow.
Do you guess where I am anyway? Do you know where I am? Can you guess where I am?
Can I guess it? I kind of know where you are, actually, because you're not at home. You're in a hotel room in Glasgow because
yes.
you put a picture of it on the notice board with a very, very, very big bed I saw. Very comfy looking bed.
Very comfy bed. It's a very comfy... Pillows slightly disappointing, but very comfy bed. I like the hotel room. It's kind of quite bonkers. It's in Glasgow. I'm going to say what it is. It's the Radisson Red. We'll be back in London by the time this is out anyway. I've come up here to embarrass myself on The Weakest Link, which is now presented by Ramesh Ranganathan. And because my travel was booked when there was going to be a train strike, I've ended up with an extra night in town. And that's
lovely.
Why I brought Jeff with me.
Very
so we're
nice.
Here today
Very
to
nice.
Explore. I've got today off all to ourselves. The sun is shining.
Oh, wow.
Miracles. And we've got a day to explore the city. I've got all the art galleries lined up. And Daisy, the niece, is back at home holding the fort, trying to work out. I haven't told her how to work the heating in the house.
Very
Do you think
sensible.
That's mean?
No, I think it's entirely, entirely sensible. Yeah, you hold off. She's young. She can just put some jumpers on. Absolutely right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So how lovely. So you've got a bit of a city break, haven't you, in Glasgow?
I'm so at the city break time of life, Judith. I've no interest in a beach holiday. I look shit on the beach. I don't want to see myself in a swimming costume. I want nice walking around weather. I want dry. I want plenty on my doorstep. I want galleries. I want stop-off places for lunch and drinks. And I want to come back to the hotel, have an hour on the bed before dinner, preferably in the hotel or very near. I don't want to be getting cabs to some backstreet tapas dump that everyone raves about in that off-the-beaten-track smug Bastard's Guide to Travelling in Complete Discomfort. Thank you very much. Fuck off. No. I just want life to be easy for once.
Oh, I know. I think there's just two things that you haven't missed there. I mean, I'm totally with you. Totally with you. Except for me, there has to be some retail therapy. So there's got to be a little bit of shopping in there or a market. So, you know, ideally somewhere. And I think, And I think I need to get back to base. I need an early supper and I need to have just a little bit of downtime watching a bit of telly before sleep. And that's a perfect day, really, isn't it?
Perfect day.
Yeah, don't like trekking. You like a cycling holiday, as you know. But yes, a city break's a very wonderful thing. Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to get retail therapy in here, but I am hoping very much that some of the art galleries have good little shops.
The gift shop
in the art gallery.
Yes. Yes.
And I have got Christmas at the back of my mind, even though it's very much at the back of my mind. And I'm sort of resenting anything too Christmassy too early.
The ads are out, aren't they, Jenny? Have you seen they're all on, all the Christmas ads already?
Yeah.
I swear that's sooner than usual.
And especially when the other weekend, you know, when we went to Rye. God, we've done nothing but go on holiday recently.
I know, you get about
turning into
all of
you,
a sudden.
Judith. I'm turning into you. No, I'm snatching this November. Is my month to do what the fuck I want. That's what I've decided. I've got a few jobs I'm not gigging. I've got a few little jobs here, there and everywhere, and I'm just going to be a bit selfish and spend a bit of money and just do some things that I haven't been able to do for a long, long time because of gigging. And I'm quite enjoying myself. I really am. But no, I can do without the Christmas advert so early now. But I do know what I know I need for Christmas more than anything else. I need a new ironing board, Judith, because our ironing board snapped. Judith, have you ever gone through an ironing board?
What do you mean gone through an ironing board? My ironing boards are sort of made of steel. They're indestructible. They'll still be here after a nuclear attack. What do you
That's
mean?
That's what I thought about mine. I thought it was just there. It was up and I just leant on it and it just collapsed under my weight. And then I thought, well, I'll put it back up. And it had snapped. It had actually physically snapped. I never thought in my lifetime I'd have to buy another ironing board.
Indeed. No, I'm confused. Mind you, now we're on the subject of your ironing board. It's always up, as I recall, isn't it?
In the room next
to your bedroom. And I bet you it's sort of a shelf, isn't it? I'm guessing
not
that
for anything particularly heavy, but only sort of a heap of clothes that needs sorting. Nothing, you know, I don't sit on it.
It'd be quite difficult to sit on it. I mean, it would annoy me being up all the time. I have to say, whenever I've been to your house, I thought, well, could you put that bloody ironing board
room
away?
That room is a dressing room.
Not the point. But no, that is perplexing, isn't it? So it kind of just gave up. It just said, well, fuck it, stop working right now.
It gave up the ghost. And so I sent Jeff out. I said, don't come home until you've got another ironing board. And came home and said, we went down to Sainsbury's. Well, you know what he's like. He said, I don't want a fat one.
He's particular like that.
So we want a slim ironing board and they all come in different sizes.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. So anyway, he went online, John Lewis, Peter Jones, in fact, at Sloane Square, found an ironing board that was, you know, had the requisite dimensions, said one left in stock, went down there.
Wow.
He said, you've got one of these in stock. They said, yes, but it's the display model. And he said, well, can you not sell it to me? And they said, no. He said, yes, but you've got one in stock. They said, yes, it's here, but you can't have it.
Oh, God. Honestly, things always turn out to be complicated, don't they?
As soon as I leant on that ironing board, Judith, I thought, this is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, and you were right. Because actually, life without an ironing board is a bit tricky. I mean, I can see that
this actually is why I go mental in dressing rooms.
I was going to say, it's a feature. Yeah. Feature of your life is ironing board problems, isn't it?
It's a bit triggering for me. It's triggering.
It's an unusual problem to be recurring.
Do you know what I thought in bed this morning as well? Just, you know, because I watched a bit of I'm a Celebrity last night, just when we got up from dinner.
You see, that's what I mean. You had a bit of a chill, didn't you, at the end of your supper?
Half an hour in bed and did I'm a Celebrity on catch-up, whatever. Yeah. And just thinking about phobias, because it was the comedian Babatunde who was very high and having to be terribly brave in the pissing rain, because the weather there can be absolutely fucking appalling, as I know. And I just sort of thought about my own real phobias. And it came to me really clearly what my biggest phobia is. And I don't think anyone will guess it. I don't think you'll guess it.
Okay, wait a minute, Let me see if I can guess. It's not. It's claustrophobia is one of yours,
I am claustrophobic, yes, you're right. Yes.
So it's not heights because you would have mentioned it.
I am quite scared of heights, yes. I'm scared of my own balance in heights. You know, I can be up in on the 18th floor of a hotel, but if someone said, well, will you walk along the windowsill outside?
That's why that first task that they did was so horrendous. They had to go out onto that walkway.
Yeah. And I would probably be covered in my own shit if I did that.
I mean, too. Absolutely.
I just said, well, you made me do it. What do you expect? I've shat myself live on television. What are you, deal with that in the edit, will you? Deal with that.
I'm surprised that doesn't happen. I mean, seriously, I'm surprised that doesn't happen. Or somebody throws up out of just, anxiety. Oh, yeah.
Do you know what my favourite is? Should I tell you right now?
Yeah, do.
It's getting hiccups and not being able to stop.
That's a strange one to have, Jenny. What put that idea into your head?
I woke up this morning and I started hiccuping and it suddenly just dawned on me that this is my absolute dread. Because I read somewhere once when I was quite young about a girl that couldn't stop hiccuping. And I just
stayed with you.
Yeah, and it stayed with me. And every time I get hiccups, I really panic. I almost panic to the point where it stops the hiccups, which is quite good, really.
Yes. Isn't it a strange thing when you get hiccups like that? Because, it's kind of, people try and give you a shock or a jolt or whatever. That never kind of works.
Or a glass of water back to front. Yeah.
Oh, that does sometimes work, actually. Yeah. That does. Yeah. But yes, it's a horrible feeling having hiccups. But I have to say that if you're going to have a bad phobia, you can it's like it doesn't happen very often. And I think you could just park that, Jenny.
Personally, I think you could just park it.
You just put it to bed.
I'll put that one to bed. Okay.
I think you should.
So, yeah. Judith, what's your weirdo phobia?
It's claustrophobia. I know that's quite an ordinary one compared to yours. But, I am... for instance, I watched that amazing film that I talked about, about the cave rescuers. I mean, the idea of having to crawl through little tiny things. I just don't know whether I could do it to save my life. I don't know. And tiny lifts I can't do. And it's bad. It's quite bad.
Do you panic sometimes when you put a polo neck jumper on? If I don't get my head directly through, I do start to thrash a bit and think, I'm never going to get my head out. I'm never going to get my head. And I was changing Arlo the other day, and he's a very reasonable baby. He just sort of gives me these long suffering looks. The only time he really sort of, I've seen him panic with me is when I was getting a jumper on his head I didn't get it on in one go and he started to really flap a bit.
Yes, I know.
What are the twins like and not like?
Eddie loves music. I've just bought him a tambourine, which he quite likes.
I know,
that was a big mistake. I tell you what I've been doing is we're going to charity shops and buying things and putting them in the dishwasher. I mean, not the tambourine. The thing they love, Jenny, and if you haven't discovered it yet, it won't be long, is Ms. Rachel on YouTube. Have you heard about Ms. Rachel?
No.
She is this genius girl. She's obviously in her early 20s. And she does these sing along big movements. This is it. And then there's kind of subtitles on the board. Now you do this and insert the name here. So you, as a kind of carer, you've got some instructions, but and the shots are really big. And then there's kind of footage of bulldozers when she's talking about lorries. And they are absolutely spellbound. It's wonderful.
I've not seen Arlo watch the telly yet. I have a horrible feeling he might have seen quite a few episodes of Games of Thrones or whatever. But I don't think what he likes. I've decided Arlo is probably going to be a big nature lover because he likes to lie back in his pram and he likes looking at trees.
Birds. Does he notice birds when they fly?
I don't know whether he can see birds yet. I'm not sure. I don't know how. I mean, he's 3.5 months, so I don't know how much detail he sees. But I do remember a couple of weeks ago when he realised that Phoebe and I were both had our faces over him, and he got really confused.
Because
we do look similar. There's a similarity.
He probably thinks, oh my God, what's happened to Mum? She looks
beautiful. Yes, genuinely.
She's had a bad night.
I do believe that he just, for a moment, he panicked and thought, God, am I having double vision here? What's happened?
I mean, he
really did. He kind of looked from one to the other and he really cried, like proper upset crying, not just, baby crying. Yeah. You know, when their faces really crumple and they look really distressed.
I know. Their chins go, don't they? Bottom lips.
Wobbly, wobbly. Yeah.
Oh, Miss Rachel. Anyway, you take a look at
Miss Rachel. Okay, I'm writing that down. Miss Rachel.
It's YouTube.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Isn't it marvellous that we've got all these things for them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I know.
In our day, we had nothing. We had a cotton reel. That's all you had. Did I tell you what my mother? No, my aunt said about my mother when she was a little girl. I mean, it was quite an odd thing to say. When I went to see Eileen last week, Judith, she said, well, your mother was a very easy child.
Right.
She said, what your nana used to do, she used to put her on the floor with a pair of scissors and a length of elastic. And
June
and June would just sit there on the floor with a length of elastic and a pair of scissors, and she'd just cut that length of elastic into little pieces, snip, snip, snip. And I just thought, well, that there's all sorts of problems with this statement. For starters,
yeah,
you put a child on the floor with scissors.
Yeah, with a pair of scissors.
And then
sharp
she does
to cut elastic as well, not paper ones.
I know. And then she just sits there, quiet as a mouse all day, snip, snip, snip.
My
well, you just
God.
Think that's... There's a behavioural problem
destroying
there a little
things.
Bit. Oh, well, there we go.
Well, listen, if it kept your mum sort of happy... and
kept her happy.
Listen,
you know, I might smuggle a pair of scissors and a length of elastic into the nursing home and see if that keeps her happy. Anyway.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So
you've got the twins in the house now. What's the plan?
Yes, we have. Don't know, because Sienna's been sleeping in and I've done the early shift. Taking them round the block. They've had their first nap. They've had I made some eggy bread. Oh, it's all been going. But I shall peak now. I shall have peaked by the time we get to lunchtime, and I'll need a rest. So it'll be a bit like that all day. I think we have to take it in turns.
Arlo's got his appointment with the allergist today to see whether he is actually allergic to cow's milk, or whether that rash he got, that very very dramatic rash he got
dramatic.
In the early weeks, was just a sort of I don't know, some weird other thing. Who knows? But that's going to be very interesting. I mean, the big worry then is if he isn't allergic to cow's milk and he can go have a bottle. He's not had a bottle since he was a couple of weeks old.
Trouble is, he might not like it.
Yes, it's going to be very difficult. And I can see next weekend me having to do a lot of force feeding with the bottle.
God.
And he'll hate me for life. But anyway, there we go.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
Right, Judith, I've got galleries to go to. So
you have?
I'm going to speed us up now. I'm going Food Sensation of the Week.
Bit thin on the ground for me, I have to say.
You're off
struggling.
Your food, aren't you? You're not really on your food that much.
I wouldn't
at the
say
moment.
That exactly, but no, I'm not on anything much very positively. No, nothing to report. What about you?
Well, my food sensation of the week, in absence of your food sensation of the week, is I overate a shepherd's pie the other night. To the point now that I will not be able to look at another shepherd's pie in the face for months.
How much did you eat?
I had
How
a really much? Greedy double portion. And then I had seconds. I could not stop eating it. I couldn't stop eating it, Judith.
I'm not surprised.
I felt really... I was just there in the kitchen. I thought, there's still some left. There's still some left. And I think I cooked enough for four. And we... I ate enough for two and a half, really. Jeff wasn't, And then, fortunately, there was a little bit left for Daisy. But God in heaven, Judith, that really
Well, welcome
did.
To my world. All I can say, Jenny, is welcome to my world. I mean, you don't eat nearly as much as I do, I have to say. And if I'm on a bit of a roll and and there's nobody to stop me or want some of it. I could easily have downed that much. Did you have any English mustard with it?
No, I wouldn't. Sorting? I see that. What an odd thing. English mustard with cottage pie.
Daisy
thinks I'm very odd because I, of course, have mayonnaise on everything.
I've seen you with that bloody mayonnaise.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I always have it because we always eat on our knees in front of the television. I've always got a jar of mayonnaise tucked down by
not
my
with
chair.
Cottage pie. Even you wouldn't.
Yeah,
have
I did.
That with
I just, yeah, didn't. I did. Yeah, I did. Little bit of well, Liam Parent's, little bit of
weird.
Mayonnaise.
That's
yes,
weird.
I know. Right now, then you have had a social life. I saw a photograph of you this morning on the Instagram
on the notice board.
Gloria Hunniford.
With a Gloria Hunniford, I've been to two reunions. 70th birthday, which was all very sort of newsy journalistic based from a sort of spell in my life where I was mixing with a lot of journalists, including Andrew Marr, he was there. Who
thin
I enjoyed
man,
meeting.
Very thin.
Well, thin and quite short. I enjoyed talking to him very, very much, particularly about his art, because he was very enthused about that. But I was halfway through a cheese straw when I met him, and my difficulty was that I didn't really feel I could finish it because I thought, well, I need to keep Andrew Marr to myself for a bit because this is really interesting. So that was a bit problematic.
I said to Andrew Marr, would you like to share my cheese straw? I've got half
a
cheese
straw. Get rid of him. No, you wouldn't have seen him
here
for dust.
Go. Would you like a quarter? Let's have a quarter each. Here you go. Pop your mouth open. Let me just pop it in.
I just fancy a cheese straw, just talking about it.
I had a very strange experience last night. What? Quite coincidence, sort of, talking about social life, which I don't have one. I don't have a social life.
Obviously.
I don't want one either, thanks. Don't make me. Having supper last night in the hotel, and a small man came up, attractive small man, who said, you won't remember me, but I was the one that told you you were wearing your cycling helmet back to front when you were cycling along the prom in Lytham St Anne's.
Are you serious? Oh,
yes.
My goodness. I remember that.
I don't know whether you remember. Yes.
I do remember.
Because I was cycling along the prom in Lytham St from my mum's flat to the nursing home. And I thought, everyone's staring at me. I'm really famous. And then someone actually flagged me down and said, you've got your cycle helmet on back to front.
Oh, bless him. And he's there
anyway,
and he's saying, gosh, and
in
he's
the same hotel,
like,
really, really amazing. Nice bloke who sells sort of good for the environment trainers called Vages or something. He's got a stand in Liberties, very, very smartly dressed. Mm. That was a coincidence. So that's a sociable. Now, tell me about the Gloria Hunniford party.
Well, she was the first person I produced 40 years ago, and I was talking to my mate Nick Vaughan Barrett, and we sort of worked out that it was 40 years since the first episode of Sunday Sunday at LWT, which was kind of my kind of big break, really, and so we thought, well, I tell you what, why don't we do a reunion? So we had quite a small but beautifully formed reunion last night with Gloria and the kind of key people in the original sort of lineup and everything. And it was we organised it, so 6 to 8.30, obviously, not a late supper,
You didn't even tell me you were organising this, Judith. You are incredible.
All sorts of things without telling you,
Yeah, you don't want me gate crashing. Stealing all the white wine.
All the sausage rolls. So we had some sausage rolls and we had some wine, and Gloria made a lovely speech. And do you know what she said in her speech? She's gorgeous, by the way. She was lovely. She's such a wonderful human being. Never mind all the broadcasting and all of that, which is fantastic. She remembered Mike's name. She remembered Sienna's name. She's an incredibly authentic, wonderful woman, actually. Mm-hmm. And she's 82. She's still working pretty much full time. But anyway, in her speech, as we were talking about frocks, because there was always a frock crisis on Sunday Sunday about what she should wear. And she said, I've just remembered how much my weekly clothes allowance was on Sunday Sunday, which was a regional hour talk show.
Yeah.
Guess how much she got for that? Once a week, her clothes allowance for each show.
So I'd say 250 quid.
No, it was £1,000 a week the mid-1980s. Can you imagine? Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of Frank Usher. That's a lot of shoulder pads. And
That's Diamante shoulder pads. That
she
really
was
is.
Big on those. It was full on. I mean, I remember when she bought this kind of Mondrian type thing, you know, kind of full length, which was which was a bit over the top. And we had to stop the recording because all the cameras were strobing so badly. But it was great to see you. I mean, people have gone on to do the most incredible things.
I mean, I think television has become very bog standard. I mean, I'm not complaining, but in the olden days, there wouldn't have been any question of getting a first-class train ticket up to Glasgow from the BBC. There just wouldn't have been.
Absolutely. So they don't even
no,
do that?
No, they won't. That's they won't. No, no, no. I mean, I did do an upgrade.
Good.
Because,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
Jeff,
yeah,
just yeah, yeah. I'm with Jeff, and it's meant to be our holiday, and actually fine. Yeah. And a half hours, and I just thought, no, this is we're going to have a treat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, that sounds well done, Judith. Well done for doing that and getting out.
It was great.
And where did you stay last night then? Because
I don't know. I got back on the bus. I got on the bus. I stole some sausage rolls for the coach journey. Got on the Oxford Tube. The bus stop was just round the corner. Couldn't have been better. I was home in time to see the 10 o'clock news. Marvellous.
Oh my goodness, that is very efficient.
Yes. Good.
Well done, Judith. I think that's very... I mean, I know that it's been difficult for you to get out of the house and to get on with things and to... I know this was probably a commitment you'd sort of honoured. You were
did
honouring.
Be good, though. Did
yeah,
be good.
Absolutely,
actually.
Absolutely.
It did.
Well, I've got... Jeff is pacing the hotel corridors now because it's time for us
to... itching to get out. Yes,
well,
don't blame
me.
The
sun is still shining and I just don't want to miss that window of glorious Glasgow weather. It really is looking mighty fine. I mean, it's the view is quite extraordinary. I can see the Clyde. I'm overlooking... I think there's a big exhibition centre sort of to my left where there are gigs go on, you know, but there's no public transport. So I think I'm going to have to get a cab. But anyway, I'm very excited about today. So that's going to... I'll fill you in on my culture corner, my Glasgow culture corner next week. But quick roundup of Culture Corner this week. I'm going to start with art. There is a very forgettable exhibition on at the Dulwich Picture Gallery. I'm very sorry to report that because I'm a big fan of the place. But it's a turn of the century, died young Lithuanian artist whose name I can't remember. And everything looked like a wishy-washy tarot card. So, I mean, it's always worth going because the cafe is nice. But I was quite cross with the exhibition. Sorry, Dulwich, but that really let me down. However... pricey but excellent is the Strange Clay Ceramics exhibition at the Hayward Gallery, which I cannot recommend highly enough. It is £15 to get in. However, you do get your money's worth. Big, bold explosions of colour and form alongside some more delicate pieces. A huge reminder of just how clever people can be with clay. My favourite was a 20-foot ceramic squid lying in its own ceramic juices. Wonderful show, surprises round every corner. If you're in London and you're thinking, what shall I see? And you've always not really had much to think about with, you know, and you've never really thought about ceramics much, I would recommend this show.
That sounds good, Jenny. That sounds like a very good recommendation. Very good. So I have finally got the paints out again.
Good.
Yes, I have. And Mike's been very good. He'd say, right, okay, when are you going to do that this week? Come on, you need to sort of earmark the time.
Yeah.
So he's been chivvying me. So I've rejoined Martin Kinnear's studio tour, you know, that thing where you pay £15 a month and you get
this
a Tuesday
is the
morning.
Norfolk Painting School. If you look it up online, it's on Facebook and you get these live studio talks on Tuesday mornings, which if you subscribe, you are available for the week.
For the week.
And it's what's it? Is it £15 a month?
It's £15 a month, and it's, you know, it's great. And the other fantastic thing is that he's including in it now the sort of basics of, I mean, it's not really the basics, but kind of they're called Simply Oils. So in other words, the class that I did over 2 days in his studio all those years ago, he's putting online. So if you're in the studio talk membership, £15 a month, you get to look at those and you can look at them as much as you want and kind of whenever you want. And it's so he's doing the building blocks of that kind of over the next sort of however many months. So yeah, it's really good. It's really
good. And are you using oils or are you...
Oh yes, sort of,
you are.
Yeah. So excellent. That's been nice and it's made me feel better. And
are you going into the Wendy house?
I'm going into the Wendy house, putting the heat on. And yeah, I mean, I think we need to do those things. Well, you know, when life gets tough, you do need to retreat into the things that sort
of
restore you a bit.
Both of us find the arts and the crafts. By the way, way, we have to mention, last week we dropped into conversation the fact that we are thinking about doing an older and wider get-together come crafting weekend, overnight stock, you know, heavy drinking, some fights breaking out, etc. Lots and lots of interest. Thank you so much for your interest in that. Thank you for people offering to do demos and classes. And we were shocked, actually, by how much reaction there is. We are moving slowly on this because, obviously, if we rush into it, it'll all be an absolute mess and a fire will break out and, you know, it'll all go horribly wrong. So we do have to take some advice and you know, think about things like insurance and sensible stuff. But, you know, we will keep you posted if we manage to pull this off, which we are fully intending doing.
Yeah. It just takes a bit of doing, but no. It's great, actually. People sort of really are coming up with kind of venues to stay and things, classes that they can run. No, it's great. We're on the case. It'll take us a while, but we're on the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen any films this week, Judith?
Haven't seen any films, no.
I have!
I have. What have you seen?
Well, I went down East Dutch Picturesque on the bus and I saw Living with Jeff. It's Bill Nighy. I like Bill. But now this has had brilliant reviews. I mean, everybody across the board is sort of five-starring it and muttering about Oscars. I found it very ponderous and I thought it wore its worthiness very heavily. It seemed to need you to acknowledge what a good film it is all the time. I felt like I'd watched a long posh version of Call the Midwife. It needed to turn the dial down because it ended in a children's playground. There's always a kid's playground in Call the Midwife, and I love Call the Midwife, but I can watch that on my sofa. I just needed to dial down the sentimentality for my liking. But I think that a lot of our listeners will absolutely adore it, and you can let me know. You can let me know what a horrible old cow.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, but I know what you mean. I saw the trailer, and it sort of I felt like, well, I know what that's going to be somehow. I know the way it's going to go. I mean, clearly, it's a man who's discovers he's only got a very sort of small window of living left and kind of comes alive, really, and it's a great message. So but
I mean, there is some uneven storytelling in it, actually. There's a sort of beginning sequence right at the top of the film with that nice lad that plays Corman Strike in TV series. I think it's called Tom Burke, which doesn't really make much sense. It sort of just sits on its own and then it gets into the groove of the film. I tell you what is great, though, seeing London just post-war and the shots of everyone going to work at County Hall are wonderful. Because you forget about that, the late 40s commute. Yeah. You know, hordes of men in their bowler hats.
Really?
Yes,
really?
Going to work in planning at County Hall. I mean, I really did enjoy that. And I think the costumes and seeing girls with, you know, those nipped in waists and big skirted frocks wheeling perambulators in parks.
Wow. Were they called the new look? Was that the new look that my mum
I think it was the new look.
That?
Yes, because it was about having fabric again after the war, wasn't it? And suddenly everyone went, right, well, I'll have as much fabric as I can possibly wear.
And it was the beginning of the baby boom. I mean, presumably they were all commuting and then going home and making babies because, I mean, that was the beginning of the baby boom, wasn't it, that era?
We didn't see much of that. We didn't see any shagging.
It wasn't
a film like that. I'm sorry, Judith, you're not going to see any shagging. TV-wise?
Well, it's The Crown. Starts tonight, actually, doesn't it? It's Wednesday, isn't it? Starts tonight.
Yes.
God, excited about that. There's been loads of publicity, hasn't there?
I know. The publicity has been terrible, hasn't it? It's been very anti. And I think that if I was in the cast now, I'd be feeling slightly anxious. I'd be feeling, oh, God, I hope it's not too slaggy offy. Because I think the mood of the nation is very much, you know, the Queen has just died. And, you know, whether you're a royalist or not, it's still, you know, some things are still quite sensitive.
I think maybe they should have delayed it, actually, because I know they were being persuaded to do that. Yes, it's kind of burst the bubble a bit, potentially, hasn't it? Yeah. But it could have, potentially, because in the past we've watched it and, okay, it's been sort of, you know, kind of highlighted and probably, you know, dramatised, obviously. But you kind of felt comfortable that it was based on...
I think it's the distance because it was all in the past. And now we've crept much into the recent now.
Yes, our recent memories, very much
yes,
so.
Yes, and I think, you know, we might feel slightly embarrassed on their behalf.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm still going to watch it.
Oh, of course we're going to watch it.
I'll tell you what else, for those that might not know and have loved past series, Making the Cut with Heidi Klum and her sidekick Tim is back on Netflix. It's a fashion design show with $1 million in prize money.
$1 million in prize money?
Yeah. And that is reflected in the talents of the contestants. The contestants aren't, you know, just wannabes or tryhards. They're all good. They've all had sort of, they've got skin in the business, but some are better than others. And it's really quite, if you like your fashion quite cutting edge, it's an interesting watch.
What channel is that on, Jenny?
That's a Netflix, Making the Cut.
Very nice. Netflix. Like the sound of that. Yes. Like the sound of that. Very good. Very good. And I'll tell you what we're watching. We're watching Make Me Prime Minister with Alistair Campbell and Baroness Varsi, which right. It's like The Apprentice. It's sort of essentially one round in The Apprentice where they have to kind of come up with a political policy and form teams and one person's prime minister and then they slowly get eliminated. It's the usual formula with a lot of, you know, ridiculous.
I don't know whether I can be asked. It's too much. There's all the, you know, politics at the moment is so grim, isn't it?
It really is. And it's kind of diverting, really. But I tell you what's weird. Jackie Weaver is one of, amongst the kind of high-heeled, heavily eyebrowed, shorted, flouncy girls. There's Jackie Weaver as one of the contestants. You think, well, what? So that's a bit weird.
I tell you, Judith, Jackie Weaver, she's after my job. She's after my job. I tell you, she'll be on Strictly before I am. That's my biggest phobia. That's my second phobia. Jackie Weaver makes it on Strictly before me.
Oh, my God.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Books, Judith. Time for books.
I'm on the Kate Atkinson, which is behind the scenes at the museum, is
I read that
a very,
years
very lovely
ago. I loved
read.
It.
Yeah, it's a very,
that's
very
the thing with her
read.
First novel. Behind the scenes of the museum.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's really, I think it goes back to the 80s? I'm not sure. I mean, no, probably isn't, because nothing's that old. Only I'm that old. But I think it is definitely the breakthrough book of Kate Atkinson.
It's ever so good.
And it's set in York, isn't it?
It's set in York and post-war, really. Probably.
And it's a big family saga, isn't it?
Yes,
and it starts with the voice of a fetus.
Baby. That's right, a fetus. Exactly.
Yes.
No, it's beautiful.
Which has been done. I tell you who's done that as well post is Ian McEwan. Wrote a really good book.
Oh, did he?
It's a Shakespeare thing when it's told in the voice of a baby. It's quite extraordinary. I'm on. Are you enjoying that? You will be.
Yes, I am. I am enjoying it very much.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Her books are very highly coloured, aren't they? They're just kaleidoscopic.
They are. That's a
colour.
Very, very good way of putting it. Even if
I'm enjoying. Sorry, yes. The Skeleton Key by Erin Kelly is an enjoyable, if slightly over-the-top, psychological drama. Those who've read Erin Kelly, she writes, she's a very prolific writer. Lots of twists and turns, keeps you guessing, even though some of it does stray into, you've got to suspend your disbelief and go with this. Jeff is loving it. Mm. I'm questioning some of it, but it's still, you know, it's a good nighttime read. But I'm also looking forward to getting stuck into Bourneville by Jonathan Coe, who wrote the brilliant Middle England.
Middle England, yes.
England, still the
about
best
Brexit,
fictional
really,
account about why Brexit happened,
without
ever getting boring or preachy. Yeah, and Bourneville, I think his mother lived in the Bourneville village. And I think that again is a big, you know, big sweep of British history. So I'm definitely going to head into that next.
Be interested to see what you think of that.
Yes.
Very good.
But right now I'm off to Kelvin Grove.
You are.
Kelvin Grove in the Glasgow.
So wait, look, time for a couple of emails. A couple of emails.
Yes.
Yep. Good. Yes. Good. Okay. Well, Jane, 55 and 3 months. Sent a lovely email and talked to us. She said she started playing ladies walking football.
I thought she's made that up.
I don't think she has. I looked it up and there's loads of places you can do it locally. I might
Jesus, Judy.
Right.
You know I can't because it might involve shorts and I can't get my knees out.
I think I might give that a go. But that was good. What else has caught your eye?
Well, I just need to say thank you to everybody who's sent in Glasgow suggestions. I have written a list, and that is what I'm going to do today. As you say, Judith, lots and lots of absolutely wonderful emails
Beautiful.
To you, sending
I
love.
Know,
and a lot of people saying, well, this is one from, this is Janie, 64 and 8 months. And she said, it seems daft to say, but even though we've never met, I feel like you're both my friends. A bit like when we had pen friends when we were younger. Yes, we are your annoying pen friends, and we're going to keep podcasting into your ears until someone stops us. And
that was very sweet.
You know, thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for all your huge interest in our potential weekender. It's going to be like, we should make it really massive. You know, like those 80s weekends when they take over Pontins. And you have about 3,000 middle-aged women going mental, doing crafting. Yeah, thousands of women with crochet hooks. Marvellous. Judith, thank you so much for being able to do the podcast again this week. I do think that you are coping really well. I'm so glad the twins are there, and you can have some family time. And I do, you must come to London soon and meet Arlo. I'm going
to
sort that out.
I'd love to.
Well, it'll be December probably, so you can bring
that
bloody
Christmas stocking. I've done
yes,
it. I'm looking at
there.
It. It's
there
done.
You go.
It's ready.
How
so I've got me excuse
How
to come.
How marvellous, right. Well, we
enjoy
definitely
Glasgow.
owe you a lunch for that. I am going to enjoy Glasgow. I'm going to go and find Jeff now. And we're going to stride out into the Glasgow sunshine and just hope it lasts until at least lunchtime. Thank you very much indeed all, and we will speak again next week. Take care.
Lots of love, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.